We're doing the Chazon Ish, Emunah u'Bitachon. We're up to page 25, page Chaf Hei. Gentlemen, in the Emunah u'Bitachon, Bnei Adam Ashlemim B'Tov Amidot B'Yotam Mitlamdim Aleihem B'Na'arutam B'Sifrei Tikkun Amidot. When you have people who have researched during their youth how to be good, kind people, so they work on their traits, V'Tichot HaMishpat Lo Lamdu, and then they don't learn the laws. They don't learn the system. Velachem velibam lo kanat avat hamishpat. And so they love the idea of being an ethical person. Let's learn the tractate of our fathers, Pirkei Avot. Great. But they don't really love the justice system, the halachic system of the Torah. There is a system of who owes who money. Tzfuim ema lecholi shelivut adin yoter me'ele hehed yotim shlo lamdu ta musar ha'ira v'torat ha'midot. So then they are on a path to coming to incorrect conclusions and obstruction of justice, even more so than the common folk who have not learned about being God-fearing people and being kind people. When you learn about being a kind person, but you don't learn the laws of how to apply it, so then you could even be worse off than had you not learned about being a kind person. Ki mimidat ha-yetzer hara, because part of what the yetzer hara does to a person is lachnis gavut alev v'tkifut hadat belev ha-mishtalem. As a person tries to perfect himself, one of the things that plagues him is arrogance. Another thing that plagues him is he becomes tough. So I don't have my cell phone here, but I would read to you an SMS I got the other day. The guy writes to me and he says, is there any legitimacy for such and such a practice to be done in a shul?
In a what?
In a shul, in an Orthodox shul. So I didn't answer him. I said, let's talk. I don't want to specify, I could make something up, but there was something they were doing in the shul that it clearly says in Shulchan Aruch you're not supposed to do. But okay, let's... I didn't say what it was. So when I spoke to the guy, so I didn't answer the guy, and then the guy sends me a second SMS. And he says, can you continue davening in a shul that does this practice? And doesn't God care? How could you turn a blind eye? So I said, okay. He's getting all excited over something which isn't like so critical. I'll give an example, which is not the example, but let's say it says in the Magen Avraham that ideally the prayer book that the chazan should pray from should be purchased by the congregation. It shouldn't be privately owned. So let's say that's the example, just so you get a picture of the severity. Like, okay, fine. So it's a nice thing to do. It's a good thing to do that the prayer book that the chazan uses should be owned by the public, not privately owned. But if he does use his own prayer book, it's not the end of the world. You know the prayer is kosher. So the guy says, how could you ignore it? So when we finally got to talk on the phone, or actually in person, I said to him, you know, you're probably a chozer b'tshuva. So he said, why do you say that? I said, because very often when a person does the tshuva process, they become very zealous, and the world seems black and white to them. Either this is what God wants, or it isn't what God wants. And if it's not what God wants, then no one should be doing this. And it doesn't exactly work that way. And the way you worded your SMS, which said, doesn't God care? What does that mean? God cares, and God cares for us also not to make a big deal out of everything. And aside from that, there's a rabbi to the shul. You have an issue, go to the rabbi, let him deal with it. He said, I went to the rabbi. I said, yeah, I was scared of that, right? He said, and the rabbi's not doing anything about it. I said, well, maybe there's a reason. Maybe that person needs a larger print. If they have a larger font, they could have better kavanah. Maybe that person gets confused when they use a sitter other than the one they're used to. Maybe there are many reasons that... So he says, the rabbi didn't explain it to me. I said, right, he didn't explain it to you. He doesn't have to tell you other people's private calculations. But this is not a reason to leave a shul over this. This is not a reason to make a fight over this. And yes, God cares, because this was his big thing. Doesn't God care? So he said to me, so then I can go to a shul where they give women aliyot, women are called up to the Torah, and women are chazanim, and women wear talitot. I said, no. That's prohibited, and you'd be better off davening at home than davening in such a shul. But you're not talking to me about something prohibited. You're talking to me about something that should be different, and the rabbi isn't a good Orthodox rabbi. He knows of it. He looked into it, and for whatever reason, he decided not to make an issue of it. So you don't have to get all excited. sometimes specifically because we start learning and trying to adhere to mitzvot, we become super zealous. And suddenly no one's kosher enough. You look around you and this guy's not right about that and that guy's not, everyone's got a problem. I also have a problem, but they also have problems. And I'm working on mine and they're not working on theirs. So the Chazon Ish writes, sometimes the person who's working on himself can be more dangerous than someone who isn't. Because the guy who's striving to be complete has very little patience for everyone around him who, to his perception, are not striving for completeness. I'm just taking what the Chazon Ish has said and giving it relevance to us. Because it's very common that that's what happens in the tshuva process also. Just a second. So he says, one of the traits of the Yesar Hara is to implant arrogance in the heart and stiffness, a certain brazenness, to be tough in the heart of a person who tries to be whole. This is one of the dangers of a chozer b'tshuva as a parent as well. Because as a person who is a chozer b'tshuva, who has made such efforts to grow and perfect oneself, suddenly sees their spouse or their child who seems to take it easy. So I remember as a kid sitting next to another kid who had the unfortunate mazel of having a parent who was chozer b'tshuva. And I would sit during davening and do this. Looking all over. And he would sit next to me and do the same thing. Looking all over. And my father had his head in his sitter and I could do whatever I wanted. And his father had his head on his son and he'd slam his head into the sitter and pull his cheek into the sitter and do a million things. I can't forget one Shabbos, he got so fed up with his kid, he grabbed him by the cheek and pulled him out of the shul. And I'm thinking, I was a little boy then, I didn't know the term child abuse, but I was just thinking, thank God that's not my father. You know, what's going on here? The kid's a kid, so he's not focused. But when a person is so into perfection and working so hard on themselves, one of the things that can happen is that they don't have patience for other people who are not so sincere. And that can affect their children, and that can affect their spouse, and that can affect their roommate and the other person in the yeshiva. And the Chazon Ish says that's a danger when a person's striving for perfection, that they lose patience for others who are not. And that's where we have to check ourselves. Why am I being so tough? Why am I looking down at other people? A person looks down at the masses because he sees them, but he knows how much better he is, and he's really trying. But the fact that I'm trying doesn't allow me to look down at others. A person looks at them as though he's so much higher than them. And whatever he does, a person thinks, I'm trying to be a nice person, a kind person, a perfect person. I'm trying. And if people tell him, you know, what you're doing is just dishonest, he laughs at it. Me, dishonest? Of course I'm not dishonest. I'm doing the best I can. A person says, you know how much charity I give? You know how many times I forgo money that's owed to me? You know how many times I go beyond the call of duty? I do the best I can. I'm always willing to forgive and forgo and give other people. I'm doing something dishonest. When the Torah says, be careful to be just, the Torah wasn't talking to me because I go way beyond the call of duty. So that's for people who are interested in bribes. That's for people who are always looking to benefit themselves. I'm not. I'm always looking how to help other people and do what's right. But people like me who are God-fearing people, people who are striving to be whole, the Torah wasn't talking about people like me. And when a person distrusts him, what he says is, oh, he's mocking a rabbi. He doesn't have enough respect for people who are really God-fearing people. Now, that what the Chazon Ish is describing can very easily be every one of us. Because we're all striving. We're all trying to grow. And it's true, we are. But we cannot confuse that with being perfect. We make mistakes. One of the greatest lessons I had was when I came to one of my teachers and I had burnt his pot, his frying pan. I borrowed his frying pan and I burnt it. It was the first time I used the frying pan, and I didn't know you got to keep the fire low. So I used it on a high flame and I destroyed his pan. It's a long story. You guys want to hear the full story? Yeah. We'll forego the full story. There's a lot to learn from the full story. But so I burned his pan, and I decided I have to give him a new pan. I scrubbed and I cleaned, and I couldn't get it clean. I decided it's not right. I have to get him a new pan. So I went and bought a new pan, and I took his pan and hid it, because I figured if he has his pan, he'll never accept mine. So I went and bought him a brand new pan, and I titled it, and I brought it. And he comes home. We were sharing an apartment at the time. And I said to him, he says, "Where's my pan?" I said, I have a surprise. We have a new one for you. He said, "I don't need a new one. I want the old one." I said, "Right, but I burnt it. I destroyed it, so I got you a new one." So he said, "No, I'm happy with the old one. There's nothing wrong. So what if the outside is a little black? The inside works. It's a good pan. I'm happy with my pan." So I said, "The halacha says that you can give something over to someone by having a third party take possession on their behalf. That's called Zachin Adam Shelo Bifanav. If I want to give Yehuda a gift, I could come to Joe and say, 'Joe, do me a favor. I'm giving you this gift. I give Joe, let's say, my pen. And when Joe does an act of acquisition, a kinyan, he says, I'm doing it on behalf of Yehuda. And after Joe has done the act of acquisition, it belongs to Yehuda.' So we use this in halacha sometimes. So I said to him, I had a feeling you would tell me you're not taking it. So I already went to a mutual friend of ours, who's right here, you could ask him. And I gave it to him, and he did an act of acquisition. It's yours already." And he said to me, "Well, the halacha says you can only do an act of acquisition for someone else if they want it. And now that I just heard about it, I'm telling you I don't want it, so it doesn't work. Give me back my frying pan." So I said, "You know, I said, you know, you're really not fair. You know, I whatever I'm trying to do, you found a way to outsmart me. Now, when I said the word, 'You're really not fair,' he became serious. Until then, we were having a friendly conversation. When I said, 'You're not fair,' he said, 'Could you please tell me what I've done wrong, what I should do different?' Suddenly, he became serious. If I had something to tell him in which he was wrong, he was interested in hearing it. And it was such a shocker to me that when I'm telling someone a line, I didn't even mean it that way. I meant it as, 'Come on, take the pan.' But he heard me say that there was something wrong with his behavior. He stopped what he was doing. He focused and he said, 'I'd like you to explain to me if what I did was improper or unfair or unkind. Tell me where I'm wrong. I want to learn from it.'" He apologized, and then he still didn't accept the pan. But he said, "Look, if I fought you too much and I hurt your feelings, I apologize. But I do want to understand if I went too far." He became very serious, and he was very interested in hearing if I had a word of rebuke to say to him. That split second where everything changed in the conversation taught me a lot. Because I know how I feel when someone says, "You're wrong, you're not fair." I feel defensive. "Wait a second. Sure I am. It's my first reaction, right? Yes, I am." I know. He taught me something. His first reaction was, "I'm wrong, so tell me. I want to know. I'll learn from it."
You're saying that's a positive trait.
I think so. Chazon Ish says when a person's working on their traits, very often they're not willing to hear that they're wrong. What happens is, as we're working on our traits, we feel like, of course I'm right, because I'm this nice, kind, good person, and we're not really prepared to hear that maybe we're wrong. And I'm just saying that's something to work on, to be open to hearing. Even if I'm working on being a good person, even though I'm trying to be a kind person, if you think I've done something wrong, then I'm open to hearing it. I know I'm not perfect. That's where the Chazon Ish is saying, part of emunah and bitachon is to lead us to the understanding that there's a system of Torah and we have what to learn from it. Very often, because we're working to learn it and we're working on our traits, so then the system is less important because we have the ethics, we have the theory. Chazon Ish says the applied science of Torah is knowing the details, knowing what the Torah wants you to do at different junctures. It's not enough to know the theory and the philosophy. There's the applied science, and that's part of adhering to the way of the Torah. It's not enough to know the theory and the ethics. You got to know the practical applications.
And when you're learning something new, like from a teacher, from a rabbi, and you know, when I learn something new, I always tell someone, friend, you know, and he says, you know, I do something